You listen to Steve Cochran in the mornings, I hope. On Thursdays, you hear Walter Jacobson's commentary, the longtime Chicago newsman's in our studio. Hi, Walter. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, John. How are you? Good to see you.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for jumping in here. Two big subjects in Chicago this week. Let's get your thoughts on them. First, talk to me about Rahm Emanuel. Why did you think he stepped down?
Well, all I can tell you for sure is that he's been thinking about it for quite a long time. I have felt that he would do this because the odds are increasingly against him. He does not like to lose. He has a very strong combative personality. And when you pick on him, he wants to go in the opposite direction just to give you a hard time. He didn't think that he could get by the idea by Pat Quinn to have a referendum on the ballot about whether his term should be up after 2 years.
What did you think of that?
I like the idea. I don't think anybody needs 12 years to answer and be truthful to his promises. If he can't do what he promised to do while he was running in 4 or 8 years, then he should be out. And you know what? Even if he can, if he can't do it well enough to make people happy, what do you need an extra 4 years for? Now, I understand that it's important for people to be able to keep a guy if he wants him or get rid of a mayor if they don't want him. But I think that's just too long. Most big cities, New York, LA, they have what, 2 terms or 1 term.
Yeah, no kidding. You have a dog in this hunt you like now?
Well, it's so early to say. You know, so much could happen. I can't tell you which potential candidates are going to get in, because anything can happen, and they're all looking for ways. Many of them are looking for ways to get in. But I think I can tell you who might win if he or she does get in. At least I think. But
who's
things
that?
Change.
Who's on your mind?
Well, I think that of course Vallis and McCarthy, because they're kind of front runners at the moment. But from outside that group, the new ones who may get in now, I think that Arne Duncan could have a good chance to win. He was a former U.S. Secretary of Education, very close to Obama. Obama's got a lot of votes and support in the African-American community, and Arne Duncan is a very good-looking, talkable, nice guy who's had so many years in working with educational problems that he's got a good issue, and he'd get a lot of good publicity.
What do you think the number one issue is in this race? Issue?
Probably violence. I also want to say that I think McCarthy has a better chance than most people are saying he does. If he exercises his strength, talks about violence in the inner city among African Americans, he's going to get that vote. We all happen to think, I don't, most people happen to think that that issue is poison for a cop. Poison for Rahm. I don't think so. I think that McCarthy is appreciated by the inner city. I mean, he's tough. They want toughness in the inner city as much as we want toughness on the Gold Coast.
They also want fairness. They want fairness.
Yes, right. That's true.
That gets us to the Van Dyke story. What's your read on how that's playing out, the trial for the jury seating this week of Jason Van Dyke? Right.
Well, you know, John, everybody's asking the question, can there be a fair trial? I, for one, don't think there can be such a thing as a fair trial. What's fair? How is it defined? Are we talking about a fair jury? Are we talking about a fair judge? I looked up the fair trial in Google before I came in here because I knew you'd want to talk about it. Let me just quickly read you the definition of a fair trial.
All right.
Conducted fairly by an impartial judge. Conducted justly by an impartial judge. Then it says a defendant has to be accorded rights under Constitution, effectiveness of counsel. All those things would point to a fair trial if they are done. But that doesn't account for people's feelings. Is there such a thing as objectivity? Is there such a thing as fairness in a murder trial when people have to have, or certainly do have, even if they don't have to, feelings about what's going on out there in the streets?
Well, everybody has their filter. We all have our life experiences. We bring them to bear, but we do the best we can, right?
Yeah,
you do the best you can. I'll tell you what, Walter, if this guy's on trial for murder, I don't know how you don't convict, because I saw him do it. You know, I mean, so maybe I'd be a bad juror, right? But I don't God bless the man. We recorded a podcast today, and I'll say to you what I said in the podcast. I feel really bad for Officer Van Dyke because he wasn't a murderer until he pulled the trigger that one time. Right. He never used his weapon before he shot and killed Laquan McDonald. He didn't get up that day wanting to do that or to end his life or that young man's. Right. But he did. But he did.
Yeah, but the definition of murder is with malice of forethought, with predetermination. Now, by your definition, then he'd be innocent.
Well, I guarantee you that those 16 shots, each of which are a count of aggravated battery against him, that sure looks like aggravated battery to me. And I think they can get around premeditation. But I feel bad for everybody involved.
Right.
Do you think that he should at least have a change of venue then?
I absolutely do. And I can't understand why the judge won't give it to them unless, of course, the judge likes all the prominence and publicity he's getting for sitting on that case. But why not? If not changing the venue to someplace outside of Chicago where the issue is so hot and people are thinking about it and feeling about it, at least sequester the jury. That's not enough. It's been 3 years of publicity about this case.
Yeah.
And we all have our opinions, you know?
The jurors all acted like they didn't want to be on this case either.
Right.
That maybe a couple of weeks of even sorting through the potential jurors and then maybe 3 weeks in the courtroom, there goes their fall. That's what they're going to be doing now.
That's right. And imagine walking into that courtroom or into that court building every day in front of a crowd of 100 people calling Van Dyke guilty, a murderer, 16 shots. It's fair or unfair or right or wrong. It's got to have an impact on a person, maybe on a jury, walking through a crowd like that. And there's also the question of whether people walking through that crowd are feeling afraid to vote for conviction.
The jurors. Yeah, that could be a very intimidating thing.
Right.
Eric Zorn, the columnist in the Tribune, was talking about this issue with us, and he said, well, how do you feel when the cops will fill a courtroom? They'll be on the benches there as spectators in uniform, sending a message of support. That's a kind of intimidation, too, of a jury, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. And how about this? The jurors who support Van Dyke, the family members of Van Dyke, are being given the first couple of rows in the trial. The people who are supporting McDonald,
we're in the back.
The dead, yeah, are sitting in the back. Right?
And I'll say this about that scene, though. My read on that is that at least one of them, maybe his uncle, Laquan's, said,
right,
I hope that was just a first day mix-up, and that's not the way it's going to be, but there's no reason to give the officer's family and friends the front two rows, and the victim's family and friends the back row. They also, the judge did not want the word victim to be used. You know that the defense is not going to be able to call him a victim because Laquan McDonald a victim, because that would then imply that there had been a crime, and so it's prejudicial. Wow. That's nuanced thinking. McDonald sure looks like a victim to me in that video.
Yeah, it looks like a victim to me, too. And
would
it will look like a victim to a lot of people who've seen the tape.
What do you think would be best for Van Dyke, a bench or a jury trial?
Well, best for him, probably a jury trial.
Yeah, that's a good question.
More best fair for would be a bench trial, I think.
You know, that's exactly it, isn't it? It shouldn't be what's best for him. It should be what's best.
What
do you think would be the fairest way to adjudicate this?
I think
a bench trial?
I think it would be a bench trial because a judge is at least required by his own principles and his own background to follow the rules and follow the laws, where the people in the jury have to encounter their own emotions.
Our texters include these. You don't have to live in Chicago to know that the cop did what the cop did, John. And from 815, we should have respected the policeman. You don't respect the policeman, bad things will happen. That's true. But, I mean, finish my sentence. I know how I'm going to finish it. That's true, but. Or do you think that's it? When the cop says do something, you have to do something.
No.
And you have to pay the price if you don't obey the police.
Well, there's a difference between having to pay the price or having to do something you're told to do and being gunned down. When you say, but, we know the cops ought to be followed, but, well, in this case, You don't know what Van Dyke was thinking. Maybe, John, maybe he was scared to death. Maybe. Maybe, and in which case it would not have been a premeditated and willful murder or shooting. It's very tough. I don't see what can be done about it, because you cannot deprive people of their lack of objectivity, you know, and their lack of prejudice and their prejudice. It's a little bit like reporters in all this business with Trump insisting that we are being objective, trying our best to be objective. Is there such a thing?
No.
As objectivity, pure objectivity?
Maybe not.
There isn't.
Maybe not. Your next commentary will appear Thursday on Steve Cochran's show.
Yep.
What's the topic?
No, you know what? Actually, they run it also on Sunday in the middle of the night, I think.
Well, maybe I'll catch it Thursday morning. It's nice to see you, and it's always good to hear you. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for asking me to be by.
Yeah, you hear him on WGN Radio. That's Walter Jacobson.